Misukim for us.
Okay. Welcome back after our long delay. We're on the last Mishnah. We're at the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. We have this to the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. So when we finish, I think then we'll be done with Megillah. We'll make a siyum, you'll bring hamburgers, and then we'll be open to suggestions for what we'll learn next. The last Mishnah deals with the Kriyas HaTorah of all the rest of the year. The Mishnah says, "Bepesach korin parshat moadot shel Torat Kohanim." What's that?
Emor.
Batseret shiva shavuot. Maze.
Also.
Vayikra lach.
Yeah, well, Parshat Emor in Vayikra. Barash Hashana, b'chodesh hashvi'i be'echad l'chodesh. Does that match up with our experience?
No. Well, maybe the maftir.
Well, the maftir.
No, the maftir. No, the maftir is from Pinchas.
Nachum.
We read
the karbanos.
Right.
The maftir is the korban.
So we read the.
So we'll here. See momentarily that. Emet
Maledah. You know, I brought the piece for a reason.
Oh. Yeah, right now you can still say Steve. Metaphorical Steve and the physical Steve.
We'll see as we get into the Gemara that the Mishnah is not lech halacha for all matters. B'yom HaKippurim achrimot. Is that true?
Yes.
B'yom Tov HaRishon shel Chag, that's Sukkot, korin parshat mo'adot shebetorat kohanim. Again, emor. U'v'shar kol yemot ha'chag be'korbanot ha'chag. And the other days of Chol HaMoed, you read the korban for that day. B'chanukah b'nesi'im. That's correct. B'purim ve'yavo amalek. That's correct. B'roshei chadashim u'v'roshei chadashim. B'roshei chadashim. That is correct.
And some other stuff.
Right. Well, that's the Gemara we learned earlier about how you break up the Kriya for Rosh Chodesh because it's tricky to get four aliyot out of the... I mean, I guess we could have done like we do on Sukkot, where you just basically say the same, read the same thing over and over again for four aliyot. That's not what we do. And since we read it, we have to supplement the Rosh Chodesh Kriya with the Shabbos Musaf and the other stuff in order to have the right number of psukim. And even then, you have this problem of having to go back one pasuk because of the problem of having to have three psukim and not breaking it up too close, so there are different minhagim about how to do that. B'ma'amadot, b'maseh breshit. You remember what the ma'amadot are? There were 24 mishmarot kuhuna. When the Kohanim from your town went off on Miluim. So some people from your town would go along as a delegation. But in your town, on the Ma'amadot, when the Kohanim were off doing their duty in Beit HaMikdash, it was marked in your town. And among the things that took place back at home was they had special Kriyat HaTorah in the public square. And they read from Maaseh Bereshit.
But then the Kohanim from your town were
there in
there. Yeah. They had special Kriyat HaTorah.
They had special festivities back at home while you were, you know, now you go off to Miluim and what do they do back at home? Well, you don't go to Miluim anymore.
Well,
you're a shirker of your responsibilities.
Okay.
You didn't do enough Miluim.
Okay.
In fact, you know, Steve got an award for doing more Miluim than anyone else. But now the minhag is you go away to Miluim, and your wife stays at home and Facebooks about being home with the kids.
Oh.
Do you see this? It's all over.
I don't know, but my wife doesn't Facebook much, so.
Right, and also you no longer go.
That's true. So.
When I was on the island, my wife used to go twice a week to her parents.
Yeah.
And they would just party to her out.
So when, anyway, when the Kohanim from your town went to Beis HaMikdash for their Mishmar, so the people back in town, they would have, yeah, they marked it as a religious event. It's interesting that that's how the Mishmarot Kuna were divided. In other words, we don't do Miluim that way. We don't say, okay, Miluim this month, everybody from Gush Etzion is going off for Miluim.
No, but it's according to families, isn't it?
Well, it was according to families, but people didn't all live in the same town. Right?
Yeah, but they break up the Mishmarim with the Kohanim according to families, not according to location.
Location.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's one of the keynote of Tisha B'Av.
Right, lists the Mishmarot.
Lists the various towns.
Right. So it's interesting, the idea that, now it's not like everybody goes. In other words, the Kohanim, whatever percentage the Kohanim were of the people, I mean, in theory, what percentage should the Kohanim be?
Pretty small,
right? It's always, the truth is today, Kohanim and Levim seem to be overrepresented.
And seem to be more Kohanim and Levim.
And they're more Kohanim than Levim, yeah. Are there any demographic... Is there any demographic data about Lamaisa, how many people identify as?
Sure.
But you don't know what it is.
Ask
a... You think, having been both a Kohen and a Levi, you would...
No, have you heard? I mean, it's DNA. They have it's become...
Yeah, they have this DNA stuff, but...
Really, I mean, my father-in-law, Baal Teshuva, wanted to ask me to try to find his background, and I couldn't figure out where his family came from. So I said, maybe I'll do the Y chromosome DNA, there's a paternal line. To see if I can find someone who maybe did know where they came from and be able to connect back. As soon as I sent it in, they said, "Oh, you got the Kohen gene." I didn't tell them it was Kohen. And what's particularly amazing about the Kohen gene is that it triangulates. You can figure out, in other words, that Kohen gene is found in Ashkenazi, Sephardi, Tammany populations,
right.
And based on how it spreads out, you can figure out when it first started to diverge. Goes back to like Tanakh times. It's really amazing. It's actually
diverged from.
Well, where was the common ancestor? What was the
Aaron HaKohen?
So maybe a little bit later, it could have been further back. But it wasn't from like.
Why know, later?
No, it could have been from Tzadok. They don't know how it is, but it wasn't from like the earliest could have. It wasn't like it's Bad Chaney time. It goes back far enough that it's very impressive as some evidence.
Why would you assume that? Like, why would you think Tzadok? There were no other Kohanim. Tzadok was the only.
Well, first of all, they do talk about how there was some like lines of Kohanim in Tzadok. But either way, I'm saying.
You said it, but in the lifetime of Tzadok, there were other Kohanim.
Right.
And they had children.
For whatever reason, they can tell the things in common, and you can calculate it back. And however far back you go, to go back to Tanakh times for the Kohanim line is very amazing, because people would not have assumed it.
How were they able to calculate backwards?
Based on, I guess, things that were different. Like, in other words, there are some differences in the various things, but in terms of DNA sequences, but that means that the common ancestor would have had to been like
X number of steps back. Oh.
For that thing to still be in common, and that number of steps back was going back quite a bit of time. So.
It's got to be a big.
But like if they said to you, okay, the common ancestor was from like 500 CE, people, okay, fine, whatever. It's not, but to say the common ancestor actually would have to been back from like, you know, sometime by Rishon or it's not. That's amazing. That's like not the kind of thing that people would ever assume.
Right. But they don't do it. There's no Levi gene that they check?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because in theory, if you assume that all the Kohen DNA goes back to Aaron, so the Levi DNA doesn't go back that much further.
Right.
You would think that it would all be...
Right. I think the, you know, in general, one of my theories of why there's so many more Kohanim than Levim is that Kohanim had a requirement to preserve their status.
In other words, it's not that all of the Levi'im, Kohanim and Levi'im together being one Shevet, so at most you should say it's like 1/12. That's not true, because the Shvatim were not evenly populated. Yehuda far outweighed others. And then, presumably you're talking about after Galut Aseret HaShvatim.
Although that wasn't as dramatic as we tend to
Say it, but it took off, it drew off a certain percentage of the population. And if you assume that the Kohanim and Levi'im, you know, maintained a, more or less maintained their percentage, that they would be underrepresented in Galut Shvatim. So then that might explain their overrepresentation.
Well, they also, I mean, I don't know if you look at Bayek Cheney, they were in the noble class, so it could have been that they were, you know, overrepresented in terms of their ability, they had the money, you know, money to survive, yeah. Whatever it was, they were, you know, that's possible.
Right. Okay, so back to the Mishnah. Bata'aniyot brachot v'klalot. Is that true?
Not really.
Except we're talking about which taniyot are we talking about? We're talking about the taniyot of the that we are taniyot of the fast day, or about the taniyot of Masechet Ta'anit, which deals more largely with the taniyot of connected to rain. Which Rashi says, brachot v'klalot de'im bechukotai. De im bechukotai lehodia shal iske hachet ba'a puranut la'olam v'yechzeru b'tshuva v'yinatzlu mitzara shehen mitanin aleha ve'en maspik ein mafsikin beklalot. In other words, you don't break up the klalot into different aliyot. This is, of course, still our minhag. Ela echag kore et kulan b'sheni v'chamishi b'shabbat b'mincha korin k'sidran. And Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha, we read Rishon of the coming week, but it doesn't count. What does it mean, Ve'en doesn't count?
What do you mean it doesn't count?
Ve'en olin lehem min ha'cheshbon. Kashiyagia yom Shabbat, yechzeru ma shekaru b'Shabbat b'mincha, u'v'sheni b'chamishi. In other words, we don't say, we don't have to read that aliyah, because we already read it on Monday, Thursday. As you can imagine, like a parallel halachic universe, where on Monday you read what we call Rishon, and on Thursday you read what we call, on Shabbos Mincha, last Shabbos we would have read Rishon of Toldot. And yesterday we would have read Sheni of Toldot. And the day after tomorrow we'll read Shlishi of Toldot. So you come to Shabbos, you only have to read Revi until Shvi. It would save a lot of time. No. The Shabbos laning is the main laning. The Shabbos laning is when we lay in the Torah. And all the other mini lanings, right, you just keep repeating. there would be some value. Shabbos Mincha, you read Rishon. Monday, you read Sheni. Thursday, you read Shlishi. And then Shabbos, you go back and do the whole thing. It would provide a little migvan. You know, drashot and divrei Torah tend to draw more deeply from Rishon.
Or specifically from the first pasuk.
And often from the first pasuk. So I wonder if that's because of, because of this. Yeah, you have to speak on Shabbos.
I heard somebody say, Beshita, he opens the parsha to the middle and then starts looking. He doesn't look at the beginning, he doesn't look at the end, he looks for something in the middle.
I remember I was once with my cousins and Batal, and we had them for Shabbat, and they were Friday night, it was like a winter night, so we were hanging out, and we did something that Toby was just like shocked that we knew this. She would just like say the last few words, except for the very last word of Shlishi of the weekday readings, and we just knew, like, you know, we all knew for sure the last word of any Shlishi, and we just knew it. Just, how do you, like, you hear the same thing over every year, like, right, three times a week, you know,
and even
thing.
If you phase out for Shlishi,
yeah, you know the last one for sure. So she was shocked.
The rabbi in my shul used to, he didn't lane. He wasn't a balkore. You know, there was a cantor. The cantor always down in the lane. But he would like say along like the last end of the pasuk, right? I can still hear it, like, you know, in Chukat, the end of Shlishis, you know, Mayim Chayim El Keli. He would lay like the last four words I can still hear, you know, This is going back on the whole Mishnah, right? That pasuk, Vaydaber Moshe et Modei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael, that's the pasuk of Kiddush on Yontif. The point is that the Kriya, except for Shabbos follows the whole, whether we're on a yearly cycle or a three-yearly cycle, the point is to cover the whole Torah beginning to end. But Yontif, the laning, Yontif, the minor holidays, Rosh Chodesh, it's Minyone Diyoma. So now you see the Mishnah had said Vishay Yemot Achag Korin B'Karbanot Achag. On Sukkot, the first day you read from Emor, and you read about. I mean, you don't just read about Sukkot. The laning on the first day of Yontif is about. About what?
Laning on.
The first day Pesach, first day Sukkot.
First day is Shavuot Chesed.
No,
it's all of them.
It's the Parshiot HaMo'adot from Emor.
Right.
But not just about that day's parasha. Right. So and then the Mishnah says that on Chol HaMoed you read whatever the chag of that day is. Now the Mishnah doesn't say anything at all about Maftir. Right? Doesn't say anything at all about Maftir. So the Tosfos here says Vishar Yimot Hachag Korin B'Karbanot Hachag. The other days of Sukkot you read whatever that day's korban is. Vahash anu ma'midim sefer Torah shniya b'ma'amadot b'mo'adot v'korin b'karbanot hayom lo matzino smach b'talmud. Our minhag that we take out two sefer Torah and we read the first whatever it is five aliyahs from the Inyan HaDiyoma and then from the second sefer Torah we read whatever the korban is for that day, that has no Talmudic source. Ach beseder of Amram Yeshna. The earliest source for the idea of taking out two sefer Torah and Yontif and laning the maftir from the second one is from the Gaonim, is from the Siddur. You know what the Siddur of Avram Gaon is? So the Siddur of Avram Gaon is like the oldest. Basically, it's the oldest Siddur, right? The idea that there's a kind of codified text of the liturgy. Mm-hmm. And it has some very many interesting things in it. It's a kind of groundwork for what we call the definitive prayer. And it does not always coincide with the davening the way that we have it. But the earliest written source for the idea of taking out a Sefer Torah and reading Maftir on Yontif is in the Seder of Avraham. When did Avraham live? Yeah, the end of the 9th century. V'ketzat yesh smach ledavar mehada amar lakaman. But there's a kind of hint to this in the Gemara on the next staff. Omar Avram lefnei HaKadosh Baruch. So go, turn to Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So the first wide line. In the pasuk from last week, two weeks ago, Vayomer Hashem Elokim b'ma'eda ki arishena. When Avram asks Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "How will I know that I will? How do I know that I'll have inheritors? How do I know that there'll be a hemshich to this?" Amar Avram lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "Ribono shel Olam, Shema Chas v'Shalom Yitzrael Chotim." In other words, it's not that I doubt, it's God, you say that I'll have a kid. All right, so I believe you. Why? Why does he believe him?
God.
Because he's God.
But his question is about whether he'll have a kid, not about whether he'll have a kid.
So that's like a drash. Right? In other words, but so what does it mean? In other words, how do I know, when he says, how do I know there'll be like a hemshech? I'm not questioning that I'll have children. I'm questioning that
will be able to,
how do I know it'll go on forever? Maybe the train will come off the tracks. So maybe, okay, so I'll have children and I'll have grandchildren and great-grandchildren and whatnot. I had an interesting conversation with Rabbi Riskin today. He told me that he has a... Is this correct? He has a grandchild that got married.
No,
I'm sorry. He has... Is this true what he told me? He has a great-grandchild that's getting married soon.
Doesn't make sense.
What?
Doesn't make sense.
No. I think you told me that he has a great grandchild that's getting married soon.
For no.
Menachem Gross.
What?
His daughter's married to Menachem Gross.
Yeah.
I think she's the oldest.
He told me that he has a great grandchild that's getting married at some point soon. So I said, "Wow, you'll soon you'll be a great great grandfather." So he said to me, "In his generation, he was quite unusual because he had grandparents. Most of his friends and peers did not have grandparents because, well,
so
right." So the idea that you could have that we know people, you know, to be nowadays to be a great grandparent is already pretty common. I had a great grandmother, and it was pretty rare. Like not.
I had three great grandparents when I was born.
When you were born, but I had a great grandmother until you know, like I have yeah.
One, two of them I remember.
Yeah. But now, so great grandparents, you become a great grandparent, you're still.
Working.
Yeah, you're still paying the bills. So
you talk to second generation Niteli Shoah. Parents came to Israel. These are kids that grew up. They didn't have uncles. They didn't have grandparents. They didn't have cousins.
Right. Mm. Right. So
our reality.
So he said, like you know, Mamash Urei Vanim Levanecha Lebanim Levnei Vanim Levnei Vnei Vanim. It's like a it's a nice. So Avram says, how do I know that the train won't come off the track at some point in future generations? Right? Maybe the Bnei Israel will be chot'im, and then they'll lose it. Vatao selehem, kedor hamabu, kedor haflaga. Amala, right? In other words, I know in the past, you've kind of like broken the chain. Right? In the Mabul, in Migdal Bavel.
He always made sure that the Jews continued.
No, but what do you mean he always made sure the Jews continued? There were no Jews in the Dora Mabul and Dora Flaga. This is the beginning of the operation, right? So Rabban Shalom b'ma'eda. So Amar lo, kichalacha egla mishuleshet. So that's the rest of the Brit Bein Abtarim. So this is in the schut of the Brit Bein Abtarim that you're going to make this korban. So he says, oh, if it's all connected to the karbonos, so then we're in trouble. Why? Amar lefanav, Rabbanu Shel Olam, tinach bezman shebeit hamikdash kayam. That only works when there's Beis HaMikdash. That's if our zchut to Eretz Yisrael is because we do the karbonos, so what about in the future? There won't be Beis HaMikdash. Bezman shein bay beit hamikdash kayam, ma tehe aleihem. So Amar lo, kvar tikanti lehem seder karbanot kol zman shekorin behem ma'ale ani alehem ki'ilu makrivin lifanai korban u'mochel ani kol avonotehem. So Tosfos says this is a remez to our minhag of the maftir, right? The essence of reading the korban ki'ilu Mishalm Parm Sfatenu Ki'ilu Hikravnu B'moado Kilchato.
Thank God, I thought you were talking about saying Korbanot every morning.
Certainly saying Korbanot.
There are probably people who interpret it as that.
Yes.
You're going to be in trouble.
But it's weird that we don't say, you know, Shabbat, read about the Korban, or even the Tamid.
Well, we do. In the Tefillat Musaf. The Tefillat Musaf, what's the centerpiece of the Tefillat Musaf? Right. Is the Korban itself.
Right, but we don't, if we're talking about the laning of it, then it's different than the...
Right, so we don't, we discussed this a number of weeks ago. I forgot to look it up. But at the time I mentioned, the Mishnah Berurah asks, why don't we have mafti? Why don't we take out a second Sefer Torah every Shabbat, read Parshat Toldot, and then read the Psukim of the Maftir for...
I heard that it was because it was too short. I think I read it was too short.
Ah, but
I know it was because it was short, but if it wasn't too short, we'd have to do it. It was because it was only two psukim.
So that's not what the Mishnah Berurah. We discussed this a couple of weeks ago. The Mishnah Berurah says because then people came with 10 different reasons why this doesn't make sense. The Mishnah Berurah says because the Haftarah is connected to the Maftir. That it would mean laning the same Haftarah every week. which I guess the Mishnah Berurah thought was, I mean, the Haftarah suffers enough. Nobody pays attention to it. But if it was the same Haftarah every week, so really, I mean, liquor consumption would go through the roof. But, right, the Torah did it.
I'm not crazy. The first day of laning of Sukkot starts with Shor HaChesed, and then it goes into Elim Moadei.
Right.
Okay.
So now the Gemara says, but others point this out, by the way, that the Karbanos in the morning, you know, it's only here in Israel. I was in America, you know, for last week. So they said davening's at whatever ungodly hour it is during the week.
We can show up 15 minutes late because they start with bracha.
Well, I forgot. I always forget two things. When we say minyan starts at 7:40, we mean at 7:40 in 15 seconds they're saying Baruch Shomah. And if you want to say Karbanos, that's not just because in this shul we're chotim. That's, you know, every place for whatever reason. Somebody can write a doctorate on the sociology of how this happens. You want to say Karbanos, that's on your own cheshbon.
If you want to say brachos.
All right, brachos, yeah, Karbanos. But in America, they say davening starts at whatever time, 6:30. You get there at 6:30, they open up the door, everybody puts on their towels and tefillin, they say brachos.
6:30, like, Baruch Atah Hashem.
And I don't know. And then, well, I'll tell you, where I was, Netzach HaMah was so late.
They're waiting for a minyan.
Netzach HaMah was so late last week in some places that whatever time davening started, it was, forget the davening before the nates, it was too early to put on towels and film. Mm-hmm. So I got there and I kind of hung around for 10 minutes, and then by the time they were done with brachos and karbanos, I put on my towels and tefillin, and I said, you know, quick psukat zimra. So same thing for saying karbanos.
I'll tell you how I solved that problem in the States. There's an 8:30 minyan.
There's an 8:30 minyan, yeah. So, not every place. In some places, in Chicago.
There's only a 6 o'clock.
You know how he solves that. You know how he solves that problem. If there's no 8:30 minyan, he doesn't go to that place.
He goes to the Fruma place. Look, in London, in London, before they change the clock, Netzach HaMah is like at 8:30 or something. It's ridiculous.
What do they do? I mean, they
people have it early
before.
I mean, if you're you know work, so that you can always find a late minion. But
that's what they call a terach minion. Well, they say Yaakov Marav and Yitzchak Mincha and Avram Shachar. So if you're going back even before Shachar, you have a terach.
No, they daven. Sometimes they're davening before. You could still be davening Marav. Forget it. It's before.
They won't say Shabbos for Marav.
For Marav, people either you.
No, but like, how do you say it?
That's in the summer, not in the winter.
Right, but what do you do with Atah Chaladan when you shot next Shemona Esrei? Forget the right you're putting off of the Allah Pesel, come on.
In other words, either you stay up late and you daven whatever time davening is, or I don't know, you don't daven. People do all types of things. I mean, if you fall asleep before Maariv, right? Shabbos doesn't go out in London in the summer till like almost 11. If you're in Scotland or in St. Petersburg, it's even later. So if you fall asleep without davening Maariv, you wake up in the morning and say Baruch HaMavdil. Right. But some poskim say you shouldn't live in such places. The other thing you always forget when I go is you go to Maariv and you say the second Baruch before Shema, and then you stand up for the Amida. And then they're all with, Baruch Shalom Lelom HaMeim HaMeim. This long bracha, which once upon a time I knew Baal Peh. Yeah, now I don't remember, not only don't I remember hardly a word from it, I consistently forget, night after night, that I'm in America, that they even say it.
So. One of the posts came I read, I don't remember who it was saying, I don't know if it was people who haven't been in just saying people who haven't been in, which is the source of not saying it, that it's good that you don't say it if you go to a place that says it, and just take that time to do Shema, slower, and then catch up that way. So that's
what I did. Anyway, to the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, but Pesach. This Gemara is rather, it's not heavy lifting. but let's just go through it. Tana Rabbanan, Pesach Koyim Beparshat Moedot, Maftirin Bepesach. Bepesach Gilgal. Right? In Yehoshua, they describe, what is that? That's basically
the first Pesach.
The first Pesach. Right? Veho'idna, is that in fact the Haftarah for... In other words, you have to fact check this Gemara. Right?
How many Pinocchios?
Fake news. Haftarah liyom rishon shel Pesach. Yes. Yehoshua. Yes. Now, it's interesting. Here in the Koran, they tell you that this is the Minag Lefi Rav HaGaon. Now, it may be the Minag Lefi Rav HaGaon, but it has a source in the Tanaitic literature, in this Brisa.
Well, it could be that the actual, like, they just say Gilgal, but the actual, which...
Which pasuk do you begin? Yeah. V'ha'idna, nowadays, te'ika treyamai, there's 2 days of Pesach, and as the Mishnah doesn't know about Yom Tov Sheni Shagolis. Right, the Mishnah doesn't list any of the Yom Tov Sheni landings. Yom Kama bePesach Gilgal, veLamachar bePesach Yoshiyahu, veShar Yemot haPesach milaket veKorei miInyano shel Pesach. Right, now it's unlike Sukkos, where every day you read the korban for that day. So on Pesach, it's the same korban every day. On Pesach, what do? On Chol Moed. No. On Pesach Chol Moed, we take out two Sifrei Torah. In the first one, we read something, and the laning in Chol Moed Pesach is rather long.
Right.
It's usually rather long. Some days are quite long. You read something that's part of the Pesach story, and then the second Sefer, you read that Korban, same thing every day. Mahi Omar of Papa Mapu. Mapu is a Rashi Tevot for Siman Yom Tov Achron Shel Pesach. Mapu Siman, Slicha, Mapu Siman, period. So what's Mapu? Rashi says, Mashchu Kchu Lachem Tzon Im Aleph Im Kesef Talve Et Ami Pei. Psal lecha vav vaydaber shebebahalotcha v'yom tov sheni korin ki yom rishon shor o kesef. Right. Yom tov achron shel Pesach korin vayhi b'shalach. Lama? Because of kriyat yam suf. U'maftirin vaydaber Moshe vaydaber David. Why Vayedaber David? What's the haftarah for the last day of Pesach?
His shira.
So one shira to another shira. Vila machar kol habachur. The laning for Yom Tov Sheni of Achron is the parish of kol habachur. U'maftir in od hayom.
Which has become that od hayom. It's from Yeshayahu,
right?
And because it was not in use in Eretz Yisrael,
so that's for Yom Ha'atzmaut. Well, it's also.
But it even starts like Oda Yom, you know, Faith or something. So like the
Degel.
No, not just the Degel, but also the Mangal.
Right. No, but it's the Mangal. No.
It's a drasha, but it's a modern drasha.
No, but it's the Oda Yom. That's what we say at night.
Sorry, but in Mikomot, where they would read during the day with or without a bracha, that's not the issue, but they would read that stuff.
So Omar Abaye, v'ha'idna nahug alma lemikre mashach Torah. Interestingly, this mapu, these different lanings, right? So they're called here by Aramaic nicknames, right? Mashach Torah is mashach shor. Torah is a shor, right? And this is what Rashi tells us. It's what Rashi tells us. Kadesh b'kaspa, psal b'midbara, shlach b'uchra. Right? In other words, that's what we saw already in Rashi. Batseret an shvuos shiva shavuot. Now, what is the leining for Shavuos?
We do
Matan Torah.
Right.
Maftir.
The Maftir.
No, Maftir, we don't do the leining. We don't do Emor. We do the Korban.
Right.
Right. Shiva Shavuot.
That's Emor.
Is right. It's
in Re'eh. It's in Re'eh. It's in Re'eh.
It's one of the things in Kol B'chor.
It's in Re'eh. It says right here.
Kol B'chor is in Re'eh.
Right. So this is not the halacha. The Gemara will point out that this brisa is not the halacha on this matter. Shiva Shavuot, Dvarim Perek Tetvav.
Why did it say here, when we were talking about the Mishnah, that... no, I don't know. Sinai says Vayikra.
What?
Sinai says Vayikra. Oh, but interesting. Yeah. No, that's weird. He has in the Mishnah, he says it's Vayikra. And the Gemara, he says it's
Re'eh.
It's the Varim.
Right.
But it could be either one.
Well, you'll see the Gemara immediately will tell us that this is not the halacha. This is not the practice.
Neither of them is the halacha. Neither.
So here's Kol B'chor in Re'eh, and one of the paragraphs in there is Shiva Shavuot.
This is Re'eh.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Umaftirin
b'chabakuk. That's for sure. No one ever did anything with Chabakuk.
There's no haftorah from Chabakuk ever? The haftorah for Shavuos is... What?
Is it Cheskel?
Is, right, is the Maseh HaMerkava. Acherim omrim b'chodesh ha-shlishi u'maftirin b'merkava. So how do we go? We go like the acherim. V'ha'idna. And as you see, the Braisa has, there were two minhagim about what the leining and the haftarah were for Shavuos. And we follow the second opinion. V'ha'idna, nowadays, the ikatreyomai, avdinan kitrevaihu. Ah, in Chutz La'aretz, there's two opinions in the Tanayim, right? So in Chutz La'aretz, they're so lucky, they live in Chutz La'aretz, they can be yotze kol adeos, they could do both.
But they don't start with Shiva Shavuot.
Interesting, but they do it opposite. They do it opposite. Why?
Meaning
they read Shiva Shavuot on the second day.
Right.
Mashma, that's not the Iker leining. And it's the first day they lean like us.
Right.
Right? Because that's the real leining. That became the, what do you mean the real leining? It's not like a matter, like, what does it mean? You know, these are matters of minhag. And one became the definitive universal minhag.
Right.
Right? But in Chutz La'aretz, where you have to have a second day of leining, so they were able to do it. Right. And that's what it is, v'ifcha, right? But they turn it around. Notice they follow, in Chutz La'aretz, they follow the opinion of both Shitas, but they flip them so that on the first day they're in aligned with Eretz Yisrael. I mean, it's interesting. There's a remnant of this in the fact that even though the Kriyot HaTorah have more or less become universalized, the Haftarot are only, what would
mostly
you guess? 85% universalized?
We universalized over as far as...
yeah, that everybody, the Haftorah, is the same everywhere.
Less than
85%?
Well, at least for like starting or finishing different.
Okay, but let's say the...
Are you talking about like a different book?
Yeah.
Well, then yeah.
Then it's more than 85% probably. I mean, they...
Right. Sometimes like, it's in almost every case, you know, when he was very young, Shalom already identified the Sephardim have it better. Right? Because it always says Hasfaradim Misayim. You know, there are a couple of cases where it's the opposite. Right. It's very rare that
it's a bit of a problem. Yeah. Sephardim have it better.
But in terms of Haftarot, usually the Sephardim, when there's a difference, the Sephardi Haftarah is shorter.
Right, sometimes significantly.
Sephardim. I'm sure you could go. I'm sure we'll get a link from David that is calculated exactly how many extra psukim the Ashkenazim have to suffer for.
First,
no matter what.
Sure. Consistent. We have to get out by 30 for the second minute.
Is it, which is the one where they have to have from the story of
With the kid, with the lecha for the Akedah, yeah.
So that this party one is really weird because they end the story where the kid's dead. We at least get the kid being alive. So that's like the one time when it little makes a little sense to have the.
Oh, because they say you need a certain number of psukim. How many psukim do you need in Yaftorah?
9, 10.
No, we learned this.
Not that many.
21. Yeah, you need 3 psukim for each aliyah. 3 psukim from Navi for, the minimum haftorah is 21 psukim.
For a weekly haftorah?
No, for a shot, I don't know.
There's some haftorahs that I would think are shorter than that.
Shortest haftorah, I think, is the haftorah for Parshat Balak.
How would you know?
We had a kid, Bar Mitzvah and Balak. Maybe the psukim is short. So how do we go? It's less than 21. One of each. The laning is the Akedah.
That's unusual, Aida. Because it's not Yom Tov Sheni Shagaliot. I thought they had 3 days of Rosh Hashanah even back in the Mishnah. Like it was a standard day, no?
Well, in the Mishnah, it describes that on what we call the second day, they sat around waiting. Whether or not they had instituted a special Kriyat Torah for that day, but that's an interesting question.
Well, they didn't just sit around waiting. There was Yom Tov for them. It could be that it turned out that really the second day was Yom Tov, but they really had 2 days of Yom Tov.
Yeah, but they wouldn't, as they treated the first day as if it was Yom Tov.
Well, that's also Yom HaRicht.
It wasn't that they went to work and, you know.
No, correct.
But it's Yom HaRicht, they actually treated it as like a one big right. day, which means you wouldn't have a second thing.
I don't know if that's the reason that there may not have been a special Kriya for the second day.
But is the Yom HaRicht a Mishnah concept, or was it later on?
It's in the Gemara.
So by that point, they already had 2 days.
And the ego between. Rashi does not ask this question.
This machlok is about if you're making an eruv for Rosh Hashanah. If you can make this machlok, you can make one for the first day to the north and one for the second day to the south.
Right.
Or if it's Yom HaRicht and you can't do it.
Right. No, but whether it's Yom HaRicht or whatever Yom HaRicht means is independent of this idea of whether or not originally there was only one Kriyas HaTorah.
Yom HaRicht is Kedusha Achat.
Right. But it's an interesting point you raise.
It's a literal translation of Ve'edna.
And nowadays. Wait, I lost my place.
You finished the Rosh Hashanah after Yom Kippur, I think.
Right, Biyom Kippurim, it's like 4 lines.
Biyom Kippurim korin achremot, maftirin kiko amar ram benisa. Is that what's left over on Yom Kippur?
Well, it's not from Mishael, but is that the same one?
I don't think they have the Yom Kippur after is in there.
Probably not.
Uvamincha korin ba'arayot. Now that's always an interesting question. Why? Why we read the Gilui Arayos son on Yom Kippur?
When I was a kid, I thought it was because it's pretty much in the middle of Sefer Torah, so you wanted to give the guy doing Hagbah and Mincha a break, and then after that, I got a really heavy thing.
So there are a number of reasons that are given. There are a number of reasons that are given for, well, all of which are obviously speculative. I had once heard, but then I was never able to find a source for it. It's on the idea that there's a connection between the Haftorah and the
and the Kriya. So what's the connection between Sefer Yonah and Arias?
I mean, they were all sinners, and in vain until he went and told them to do tshuva, but I don't know if it was
I remember once reading that that was their sin. That was their sin.
Don't mention
but I was never able to find that source again.
I heard the rumors I heard about the riot was because of the description of at the end of Masechet Tanit of like Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Both those were the days where women would go out and they choose their. It wasn't just a Tu B'Av thing; it was on Yom Kippur also.
Really?
And that was one of the reasons they had to be careful.
So that's what Tosfos says. Rashi Tosfos Hanashim Mekoshtot Bishvil Kvod Hayom. Like the lady, normally ladies don't come to shul, and normally ladies that come to shul, they're like old ladies. But on Yom Kippur, everybody comes to shul and they get dressed up fancy. And, you know, you're around dressed up fancy ladies, the mind wanders. Chas v'sholom. So you have to remind people.
Dafkan Yom Kippur.
You have to remind people. L'fichach tzarich lahazkiram shelo yikashelu bahem uve midrash yesh shelakach korin barayot l'fichi Yisrael osim remez l'kadosh baruch hu shekeshem shehizhir otam shelo legalot erva kachlo tigale ervatam ba'avonotam. A second reason, right? Gili arayot, you don't have the gili arayot, right? So just like we shouldn't reveal these dvarim migunim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu also shouldn't reveal our, what are our arayot? Our arayot are our averot. Al tikra arayot el averot. You know, to keep it covered up. We don't. Rashi says it's kind of like Arias is, you call down to central casting, and you say, send up an Avera. And like, think, what's an Avera? So like, you know, we don't have to really exhort people too much about Shatnez. But Arias, it's something in one form or another, even if it's just Hirurei Avera. We shouldn't be choshe the people who are actually nichshol in arayot mamash, but even hirurei avera kashim me'avera. And this is something we live in a world. I mean, if Rashi lived in a world, you know, like those ladies walking around medieval France looked like. Well, they all look like Mother Teresa. They were born old and withered, and they were all wrapped up, and. They'd go out into the fields, wrapped up in those burlap sacks to pick the wine, to pick the grapes. But today, it's not like that. You know, there's the internet.
What?
Yeah. So you have to be careful about these things. So you want to remind people to, like, do tshuva for their averas. So you have to pick one avera as the kind of dugma. So it's not a bad one to, it's not a bad one to choose, says Rashi. Umaftirin Biyona Omar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Makom Shata Motze Gvurato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ata Motze Anvanuto. This we know from the Kiddush Levona. Wherever you see how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, there you see his Isn't it? Are we saying Kishon
Levana? I think it's the Vitenacha.
What about
You're in America, so you probably said that also.
Like, yeah. Right, wherever you hear the record of God's gvura, so that's where he's most modest. This idea of God's greatness and his modesty being connected is mentioned both in Torah and in Neviim and Chetuvim. And then he brings the three psukim where this is mentioned. Katuv b'Torah, v'chi Hashem Elokeichem, hu Elokei ha-Elokim, v'Adonai Adonim, v'chitib batrai, ose mishpat yatom v'almana. God is the greatest God. He's the God of all the gods. He's the best God there is. And what's he doing? He's busy taking care of the widow and the orphan. Shanoi b'Neviim. It's this idea is repeated in Navi, in Yeshayahu. Ko amar Ram v'nisa shochein ad v'kodesh v'kadosh shma v'chulei. Right, he's high, exalted, and mighty. V'chitiv batrei et dakau shval ruach right? That he's taking care of the oppressed and the downtrodden. Meshulash b'chtuvim dechtiv sulu l'rchov baravot. Right, God is like riding on high. V'chtiv batrei avi yitomim v'dayan almanot. All right, we'll pick up with Yontif next week. Yeah.